Are you a busy parent trying to juggle life and parenting at the same time? Worried about how to instill biblical values in your children through the busyness of life?
We'll discuss these important topics and more with Susan Cromwell next time on Real Family Talk. Join us. Welcome to Real Family Talk. Today, we're talking with Susan Cromwell from the Let's Pray team on the power of a praying mother.
That's right. She'll also share her own personal experiences and how she juggles parenting, working, and leading her son to Christ. And we'll share some practical tips with you to help you build solid foundations as you seek to lead your own children to Jesus. Susan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I really appreciate you, and I love you guys' ministry.
Well, we love you too, and we love your ministry, and it's always such a pleasure to have you on.
Praise God.
So you are still working on the Let's Pray team here on the Hope Channel.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit more about what else you're doing. Tell us a little bit about Let's Pray and also some of the other projects that you're working on.
Happy to. You know, I'm honored to be a part of Let's Pray still, and for those who might not know, it is a global interactive prayer program that we hold four nights a week from 8 p.m. Eastern to 8:30. And we say that it's the place where you don't have to pray alone.
That's right.
It's myself, Pastor Chris Holland, of course, who is a dear man of God and, you know, a lovely husband, I'm sure. But, you know, it's just a wonderful team, and I'm grateful to be a part of it. I've also had an opportunity to travel for partnership weekends with Hope Channel. I have a couple things that the Lord is bringing up on the side, but I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
That's okay.
But God is good. You know, I'm proud to be a wife and a mother.
Yes, I hear you're a mother of a son.
Yes.
And how old is your son?
He's 6 years old.
Wow.
His name is Gideon, and I believe that he's aptly named. The Lord led us there, so we're grateful to be parents because we are late bloomers. So I have a history of drug and alcohol abuse. I've been sober for 14 and a half years.
Praise God
for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. It's real family talk, right?
Yes.
So we're going to be real.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And then my husband, of course, has his own journey, and both of us are kind of late bloomers. And then the Lord walked us through, and now we're married. We have our son. God is good.
Praise God for that.
And you've shared also publicly about some of the challenges that you had when Gideon was born and some of the health challenges that he's had. Do you want to share a little bit more on that and how you've handled that with, you know, being a working mom and juggling work and parenting and all of your other and being a wife as well.
Yes.
How are you doing all of that?
And I want to say thank you to you. You've put up a post or two that I've seen discussing miscarriage and opening a dialogue for that. And I think it's incredible to talk about. We went through quite a bit to have Gideon. And by the time he was born, we were elated, but he had suffered a birth injury. So everything was functioning normally. And then when he came out, he had been, they called it shoulder dystocia. It ended up with a brachial plexus injury, and so briefly, five nerve cables that connect to the spine.
Wow.
It was like someone had taken their hands and pulled the opposite direction, shoulder and head, and it caused trauma to the nerve system, I guess, that moves the arm. So when he was born, it did not move at all. He's had a couple surgeries, and we are so grateful. And he's doing very well.
Praise God.
Unless we point it out to folks or he does specific activities, the Father's healed him so well, you almost cannot tell. And it is a miracle.
Praise God for that.
Praise God. So, you know, tell us then a little bit about how does a mother, I mean, and fathers have their own issues,
don't
but
they?
We're specifically speaking today about a mother's heart. And you're a praying woman. How did you pray for yourself, for your husband, for your child during this time? Because that's difficult. You've waited all this time.
Yes.
You've had miscarriages.
Yes.
Now you are blessed with this child and he has a birth injury.
Yes, it does feel like a shot in the stomach. And if I'm going to be totally honest, and to any of the families out there who don't handle everything perfectly, neither did I. I had a very hard time. It was very traumatizing. There are still portions of it that I'm still walking out
I
with
can
Jesus.
See. Yeah.
And so how I pray for my husband and my son was different than the conversations that I had with Jesus in prayer, because there was anger. Mm-hmm. And
disappointment.
Oh, disappointment. Yes. But I'm grateful that Jesus knows what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And that it says in Psalm 51 that the Father desires truth from the innermost parts. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he doesn't know I'm feeling that way anyway. And I'm not aiming to be irreverent, but isn't it more irreverent to talk to your best friend and to smile and lie to them about how you really feel?
Indeed.
Yes.
And so it helped to build that relationship because I was not handling it well. But it has been the most incredible faith builder of my entire life. Now, Willie and Elaine, when something happens, instead of being the first person to be overreactive and to go off the deep end, because I was like a tissue, you just blow me anywhere and I would react to it. I am fortified in Christ.
Praise
in the name
God.
Of Jesus. But it's not because I did it perfectly. It's because I messed up. It's because I didn't do it well. And the Father walked me through that. And whenever I have a chance to pivot to Christ in those struggles, that choice is what builds that faith muscle.
Of course.
It's what builds those mental pathways.
Absolutely.
So that's where I return to.
Absolutely.
That's like you're
working out.
Yes.
You're working out your faith. And faith, as you already said, is a muscle.
Yes, sir.
The more you work it, the stronger it gets.
Yeah.
So every challenge is an opportunity for growth.
Yes, sir.
Spiritual growth.
Yeah.
Even emotional growth.
Right.
Yes.
And I love the fact that you share that you didn't handle it well, because
I would be doing nobody any service.
Remember,
Susan Cromwell.
Remember,
it's pray.
Yeah, but remember, it's real family
talk. It's real family talk.
We talked about that.
Exactly, and I think other viewers need to hear this: that it is okay to be angry. The issue is not the anger; is where do you turn with that anger?
Yes.
And so I love the fact that you share that. You made a choice to turn to God.
Where else?
And to tell him how you were feeling.
Yes.
You know, I want to jump in here and say that oftentimes people say that if you do too many things, something is going to be left out.
Mm.
So how do you handle that? And what have you done? What have you built into your routine to make sure that you're covering the bases and that you're okay? Your family is okay, and your relationship with God is okay.
Yes, sir. I think it's an excellent question. There are things, and sometimes it will come down to a post-it note. There is no shame in recognizing your strengths and areas where you have opportunities for growth and grabbing a hold of that and saying, because this is the truth, I'm going to do this. So how do I say this? So managing the how do I do it all, the first myth I'd like to dispel is the work-life balance.
Yes.
There's no such thing.
No such thing.
There's no such thing.
Yes.
Okay, now, there are areas and seasons with the Father where he reprioritizes your life. And so again, it always comes back to going to the Father about what his business is during this time of my life. So something may get put on a shelf for a minute, but that's because I'm focused over here. For example, I had a podcast for about a year and I love doing it. It's wonderful. My friends ask me when I'm gonna pick it back up again. But because I'm homeschooling my son, I had to set that aside even though I didn't want to, but because the Lord had indicated to me that it was time and I needed to take this time to homeschool my son and figure out that schedule before I picked anything else back.
So priorities.
Yes, sir. The Lord teaches us how to prioritize. And it is really about praying, spending time with Jesus on behalf of you, your family, your children, the responsibilities and say, Jesus, do you need me to reorder this at some point during this season? Am I busy for busy's sake, Lord? Or are you calling me to a season of busyness?
Yeah.
You know, there can be a difference there.
Yeah.
So when we return, we'll continue talking with Susan Cromwell from Let's Pray Team. We will be right back. Today on Real Family Talk, we're talking with Susan Cromwell on juggling parenting, working, and life at the same time. Susan, you have a secret weapon, prayer.
Yes, sir.
That keeps you going. Yes?
Absolutely.
Can you tell us about it?
Absolutely. You know, I believe that the Father has me involved with a program like Let's Pray because I need more prayer. It's not about me, but He's mm-hmm. able to do more than one thing at a time. And so I need prayer in my life. There's a lot that I'm learning. The Father is refining in my character and ways that I'm still growing because of my history, even while I'm working with the program. I'm a wife and I'm a mother who's homeschooling. There's just so much. But prayer's at the heart of everything. And mm-hmm. I don't mean prayer closet. Mm-hmm. I mean constant conversation throughout the mm-hmm. day.
Explain that.
Yes.
Because we hear so many people talking about the prayer closet.
It's
so
wonderful.
Yes. So
yes, we love the prayer closet. It's a wonderful private time between you and the Father. But when you're moving throughout your day, the Lord likes to be in conversation with you. You do something, say something. The Father goes, hey, take a look at that thought. And you go, oh, I see that, Lord. Father, forgive me. And you just keep on moving. He goes, okay, you got it. And you and Him just in lockstep throughout the rest of the day. Anxiety comes in. I go, oh, Father, Lord. And I pivot back to Him. Because to me, that's a lack of connection with His presence. And I'm trying to manage and handle and perform in some way. Mm-hmm. And so that break, whether it's disciplining my son and not really knowing how to do it without utilizing shame or utilizing my own defense mechanisms. You know, I think one of the biggest responsibilities for me and for anybody else as a parent is to come to the Father and receive counseling as well. I've been seeing a counselor on and off for a very long time.
Those are the gifts that God gives to the church. And I'm just stopping here to say that because many times Christians believe that they need no counselors because they believe in God. And 1 Corinthians 12 is very clear mm-hmm. about all the gifts that God has given to the church.
Yes, sir.
And one of those gifts is counseling.
Is there something in Proverbs that says something about a multitude of counsel?
Of yes. course, there
yes.
is wisdom.
Yes.
So
yes.
we need to be mindful
Agreed.
That God is teaching us and using people as instruments of His peace. Mm. And His direction.
And of course, here I like to clarify that a good Christian counselor, right?
Yes.
Or
yes.
someone that shares
those
your
values
mm. that you have so that they're not going to take you astray. But definitely counseling can be helpful. So you were sharing about living in the presence of God.
Yes.
And I love
because
that.
Because I've not been good at it, you know?
I love that. So, and so you were saying because of that, sometimes when you're struggling with not shaming mm. your child
yes.
or resorting to old defense mechanisms.
Yes, yes.
How?
Well, so I was saying one
that?
Of the most important things to me for any mother or father or family member around children is to allow the Lord to handle our stuff, whether through another person, prayer, however the Lord is, whatever your journey is between you and the Father and how He wants to help you with that. Because we'll get so buried in our own minds and our own stuff. I saw it with my parents and they're wonderful people. I see it with myself. Mm-hmm. It's our responsibility to allow the Lord to handle our stuff mm-hmm. so we're not so buried that our kids get pushed to the side.
Yeah,
because we're just doing everything we can yeah. sometimes to yeah. just live yeah. and breathe yeah. as parents,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So no shame, but let's grab this by the horns and say, you know what? I don't want to neglect this or that area on behalf of my child because I'm so absorbed in my own stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And it's so important that you bring up this whole notion of shame. It's mm. one of the biggest, most destructive ways in which we parent.
Yes.
And it's manifesting itself so much in this current generation that there are just numerous evidence-based articles about the destructiveness of shame.
Yes.
And
when you come from a shame background, you pick it up like you're breathing air. You also utilize it without recognizing what
yes.
it is you're doing.
Yeah. And,
yes.
and it's interesting that you say that when you come from a shame background, but mm. you know what I know? Is that the human family mm-hmm. comes from a shame background.
I mean, doesn't
because
it?
We're children of Adam and Eve, and mm. shame started right there in the Garden of Eden.
Shame and blame.
Shame and blame.
And blame.
Yes, and it's what the enemy does
yes,
to us.
Yes.
So
he comes naturally.
Us.
It comes naturally.
And then he yes. shames us.
Yes.
Right.
So my husband and I are walking out, and I would say prayerfully as well, walking out The difference between discipline and punishment, and as well, getting the same result from our son in obedience, in growth, in learning, but getting there in a different way.
Yes.
Awesome.
Right?
That's, that's
share
the discipline.
With us some of that.
Like, that's the discipline.
Give us an example.
Oh, my. Because, I'm trying to think of our evening routine. I'm trying to think it through. Our evening routine, mom and dad like to be involved. Gideon likes mom and dad to be involved. There's three of us, so we do what we have to do. And this is also part of his, part of worship, do you know, at the end of the day together as a family. So we're doing something, he's doing something, my husband is participating in this part, and Chris or I will both be frustrated about something because he's six and he's busy and he's wonderful. But that frustration response will come up as opposed to, now son, mommy's starting to get a little frustrated. So either you can do this or you can do this, because you can give him a choice and carry out a consequence to that choice without going from 0 to 60 in your tone and in your demeanor, right?
Yes.
There was threats growing up. There was, you do this, you know, and it was like, oh,
the look.
How do I not do that? Oh yeah, no, the look is still very, very effective.
Well, you know, and it's ingrown, it's inherent, it's a part of you, because that's our go-to.
Yes, well, and we hear it come out of us.
Yes.
And then there's shame for that.
Yes.
So the enemy does a double burying of a person, and especially when you don't have other skills to grab a hold of. You know you want to do something different, but you don't know how to do it. And I think that this has been some of our conversations, the three of us, over time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is not having been shown or seeing, so I don't have any skills to grab a hold of. I want to do family worship in a beautiful, effective way. We went to church, but we didn't have family worship.
Yeah.
And I spoke with you guys when you were guests on Let's Pray, and you said, no, Season, you're doing it. Didn't even realize I was doing okay.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. So we need spiritual moms and dads. I don't know. I think it's gone out of style a bit to have leadership instead of facilitation. I want leadership in the area of parenting. We don't have mom and dad, my mom and dad, my husband's mom and dad, or aunties and uncles close by. So when a church member speaks into the life of my son and they go, oh, I'm sorry, I say, no, please, thank you. Thank you for loving him enough to speak into his life.
Yeah,
we need this,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so I appreciate that about you guys, and your focus on family worship is always right there, kind of running under the surface for us.
Yeah,
so
and since you brought it up, again, we do like to stress that family worship doesn't have to be gymnastics and doesn't have to be a grand program.
I don't need to have an MDiv.
Right, exactly. You just gather your family together and lead them to the Word of God. Pray, sing, have a devotional thought. The whole point of it is to bring the family together and lead them to Christ.
And you know what? On that point, we have to take a short break, but before we do so, Season will say a prayer for our families. Let's go to Season now in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for an opportunity to not only glorify your name, Lord, but to pray for families, Heavenly Father, to seek your wisdom and your equipping to moms and dads and anyone who has influence around a child, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment, that you would indeed continue to teach us and guide us and equip us so that we might be able to reflect you more accurately and to draw them into a deep relationship with you, Father, and to implement the powerful gift of prayer in our lives. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
We're back on Real Family Talk with Season on how keeping God at the center of her life has helped her in her mothering and juggling of life. Season, welcome back.
Yes, thank you so much.
And thank you so much for sharing with us these precious, practical, real ways in which a mother today has to juggle all these different things.
Yes.
So,
well, before the break, we talked about how prayer has made such a positive difference in her life, including her parenting. So let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yes.
And you started speaking about family worship and how that's impacting your family life and the fact that you don't have to be an MDiv.
Yes. And
by that we mean having a graduate degree in theology or mm-hmm. anything like that to be able to lead your family in worship, mm-hmm. in connection, and in acknowledging the presence of God in your home and family life.
You know, I think there's two things that I have learned recently that are the smallest little things that are wonderful. And of course, now I just forgot one of them. But the first one is that my husband and I will say, Gideon, would you like to pray for anybody? And we've noticed he's a bit of an awkward six. He's lots of energy. But when it's like, okay, speak on command, he's like, so he doesn't, he's not automatic to praying out loud. Please understand, that's okay, right? For any moms and dads out there, you don't have to force your kid to it's okay.
Yes.
I hope it is. Anyway, we say it is.
It is okay.
We say it is in our house. So what we do, instead of me saying, Gideon, is there anyone you want to pray for? To try to get him to think of people to pray mm-hmm. for, I'll say, Daddy, who do you want to pray for? And he'll see Daddy say, you know, I'd like to pray for this person and this person.
Modeling.
He sees it's what we do.
Right. Yeah.
That is not from my intelligence. That is from Jesus. That's not these little pivots and these little something and how to address and come mm-hmm. around the corner. That's divine download. That's the Father.
Oh, that,
I'm not
God for that.
Smart for those types of things. Does
Again,
that make
living
sense?
In the presence of God is mm-hmm. what you're saying.
And thanking Him daily.
And He leads you.
Amen.
If you acknowledge His presence, mm-hmm. then He's there and He leads.
Yes. And I want to thank my husband. Because every day he gets out of bed and he goes to his knees. He is that, he's diligent, he's consistent, mm-hmm. he is stable in these things. My son sees it.
Yes.
My son also sees that Daddy is not to be interrupted during this time. He never snaps or gets frustrated with it, but no matter what Gideon does, Daddy stays exactly where he is. And he continues to pray. And so my husband is modeling those things mm-hmm. as a man.
Yes.
And now I don't want anyone to be discouraged if you don't see those types of things in either your wife or your husband.
That's right.
The Father is very, very good at taking things and turning them into an opportunity for growth
yes.
and for grace,
That's
not
right.
only for husband and wife, but for your child as well as mm-hmm. they grow.
Yes, and in whatever type of household, because even as you speak about mother and father, I grew up in a single parent home,
right?
Raised by my grandmother.
Yes.
And I watched my grandmother do the same thing, get on her knees every morning, and we could not disturb her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, and she prayed three times a day. And when she was praying, we couldn't disturb. So there was a modeling that we were able to see. So I appreciate that you're bringing that up. Now, I don't want to miss the opportunity for us to talk about your exciting project
Yay!
Called Heroes.
Yes, yes.
So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. I've been honored to be involved with the, it's called the digital distribution leg of Hope Channel International. They are the publishers in collaboration with the General Conference's communications department, publishing a game called Heroes 2 Bible Trivia. We like to just call it Heroes. So here's something I really love, because although screen time needs to be limited, I believe, mm-hmm. This is a wonderful thing for kids to do. So it can be a reward for kids to be rewarded with learning the Bible. I get to go to conferences and do all these. There's 1,000 applications for it. You can play it in Spanish, in Korean, in Portuguese, any language you'd like. But here's the cool thing. I can use it for homeschool. And let's be clear, I have the opportunity to homeschool my son. Not everyone has that.
And praise God for that privilege.
Amen. And I don't want it to be like everybody needs to homeschool. No, please do your own thing, okay? But with homeschooling my son, learning Portuguese, for example, I can put the game in Portuguese and he can practice that way. But most importantly, what's wonderful about the game is that it's the Word of God. It is living and active. It is always accomplishing, even when these kids are laughing it's just a wonderful time.
And when you said, you know, teaching your son Portuguese, I thought in my head, super bom.
Super bom. Tudo bem?
Tudo bem.
Okay, all of the Brazilians just went, yay!
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, you know, it's also an opportunity to disciple your child and to teach people how to integrate spirituality into their parenting. How do you do that?
Integrate spirituality into the parenting. I think that the one thing I would like to do the most is to teach Gideon to integrate this into my parenting. Instead of teaching him rules, which there are rules, there are right and there are wrong, there are absolute truths according to the Word of God, but I would like him to know how the Father feels about him more than I teach him that he's not, you know, not good for doing it. I don't use that language, but the rules and, and all of the regulation, that comes naturally when you know how loved you are.
Amen.
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 Wow. Thank you, Season, for stopping by and blessing us.
And thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.